And I've got on the phone right now my friend Diane Garris. Diane, how are you?
I'm really good, Cindy.
You got your voice back. You got your voice back. Diane was having voice challenges for a while. It's good to see your lovely voice returning.
Whoa, thank you. It's a little better.
Well, I've known Diane actually for years, and I've known her through her music and also through her books. And I think Mystic Nine was the one that I fell in love with. That was obviously your ninth CD that you put out, right, which I absolutely love.
Thank you. It's beautiful.
But you also have done amazing books and some lovely cards. You know what someone told me, Diane? Someone told
What's
me that?
That
these tarot cards have become like the latest big thing to do, that more and more people are getting them. But they're not just the tarot cards. They're interesting ones like the artwork that you do in your tarot cards.
Well, thank you. Mine are dialogue cards between twin flames and soulmates, so they speak. It's a dialogue reading.
I like that. I like that better than tarot. So it's called dialogue cards.
So they complement the tarot reading. So you can use them as you can use them by themselves, or you can use them as clarifiers in the tarot reading. And so, with most of mine, I split them into female energy and male energy. So the black ones are the yin, the female energy speaking, and then the white ones are the yang, the male energy speaking, and they talk, the dialogue.
It's beautiful. Well, you know what? I was really thrilled to find out about when you started this New Age Notes, and it's a nice play on words because you have the word notes, which is music in the New Age in there, and you've been exploring what you can do with New Age Notes now for a while, and you actually have reached out to a lot of musicians, you know quite a bit because you've been doing reviews of a lot of great new music for a few years now. And so you reached out to people and said if you want to have your music played on your channel, that they could do it through New Age Notes. And you started the site. You have it at newagenotes.com. Is that right?
Yep, newagenotes.com. It's, the radio station has been there for, well, it'll be actually 2 years in January.
Wow.
And, it's really grown, and I'm excited about it. And, so it's very fun, you know, and it's a good place to get played because we pay a royalty to the artists for airplay. So, yeah. It's good. It's the way it should be.
Well, how do people submit to get played on New Age Notes?
So they just go to newagenotes.com and click on Submit Your Music and send it to me, and it just goes that way. I'm pretty picky about what I'm putting on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we have our New Age Notes of Radio Music Awards that we just opened our entry to. And thank you very much for being our corporate sponsor. I'm excited about that.
Well, I have to say, you know, I've been in the music game for a while now, for a long time. And I've seen a lot of different people use the awards in many different ways. But most awards do not specialize in one field. And as you know and I know, the New Age field has continued to grow and grow over the years. I know you've been doing it for before it started getting as big as it is now. And I've certainly appreciated that. And so I thought, okay, this is a great idea to be able to take music in one category and to let everyone have their music, number one, heard if you go to New Age Notes, but also be recognized and be recognized in that field. And because, you know, I'm a member of the Grammys, and I don't ever take away from the recognition, the honor of being a part of that. But at the same time, there's only in New Age category in the Grammys, there's only one category. It's called New Age, and now it's Ambient and Chant. And on New Age. And so you have hundreds and hundreds of entries with only no subcategories, right? So, so I like the fact that in this New Age Awards, you have subcategories. What are some of the subcategories you have for the competition?
Well, I'm kind of following the model, but it's basically all about New Age music. So best contemporary instrumental, best ambient, best relaxation. So that can be either an album or a song. Mm-hmm. And you can enter more than one category, but it's all it has to be New Age, which, as you know, we're talking about, that has really broadened since I came out with my first debut album in 2005. And I was actually told I was too New Agey. My music was too New Agey. I don't understand that because it's New Age, but. Yeah, so that was kind of funny. But so now, you know, our whole category has expanded into ambient and space music and meditation music and so on. But to me, if it isn't, I have my own definition of New Age, basically, I think. And if it isn't, I very oddly, I have people trying to submit pop songs and... I mean, there is New Age pop. There's such a thing as that, but where or rock and roll songs, and I'm like, okay, why are you here? Mm-hmm. This is New Age, and that means to me it's relaxing or it's uplifting or it's like this. So you know, it's meditative or it's New Age solo piano, and I mean many different. Sort of subcategories.
I mean, I'm thinking, of course, with people like harp music. I know quite a few, actually, about three harpists come to mind that do harp music, right? So obviously, you know, I'm thinking of Peter Sterling and some others that are out there, of course. And there's a ton of New Age flautists, aren't there?
Yes, there are, and some very, very excellent musicians in this field.
Yeah.
I mean, the music that's coming out now is phenomenal, especially the New Age contemporary instrumentals. They're just phenomenal. The orchestration is beautiful. It's melodic. It's relaxing. It's uplifting, which is what this genre should be about.
Well, and I was able to connect with you about a month ago, and I love what you were doing. So I thought it correlated well and with what that I've been achieving or trying to achieve, at least, on a station I program in Sedona, KUOS-FM. And Sedona, of course, is an area you well know. You used to do some fairs there. Sedona's, you know, got the vortexes. It's got the New Age thing kind of down. So, you know, I started that about, 6 or 7 years ago. But I thought, you know, I don't really have just, I play a variety of New Age and some jazz and some folk music and some classic rock. And I just try to pick music that I find uplifting and spiritual. And I kind of have a very wide variety of music that I think is uplifting and spiritual that I love. So I've never done, you know, I never had a station before that's on the air at 92.1 in Sedona, 92.1 FM, that actually is only positive and with no commercials and everything. So when I reached out to you, I said, well, let's do a show. You have the New Age Notes, and let's pick a weekly show where we can actually air New Age Notes and people in Sedona can hear it. So that started, and it's really been lovely. I've been doing it at 11 o'clock. Sedona time right now is same time as the Pacific Coast, so it's 11 in Sedona, which is Arizona, which is also the same time as Pacific, but that's going to change in a few weeks. And here on Maui, here it would be at 8 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii, because we're 3 hours behind. So you can listen to that streaming I have inspirationalradio.net, or you can actually tell your device if they're behaving. Sometimes they haven't. They need to play KU. I've been having insurrections with Siri and lately. I don't want to play. I want to play KUOS. I have to be demanding on them. They keep trying. I think they're getting infiltrated by people who try to distract it to something else. But anyway, you can listen and you can hear it online streaming or on your devices. And also, check it out if you're in Sedona. And it's lovely. I mean, because you, truthfully, Diane, I haven't had the time to really go through all of the music that's out there, and I have found some wonderful music. I really have found some beautiful music that I really love.
Oh, well, that's really good. I mean, it's very fun to curate it, and I actually listen to everything, so I know what I'm putting on this curated list every week, and doing it in a way where it's an interesting playlist. It's not just a bunch of music that's going to put you to sleep. So I hope you're finding that. I hope your listeners are finding that it's interesting and relaxing, but not necessarily going to, you know, put you to sleep.
Well, I find it very inspiring. Some of the pieces are just wonderful that I've been hearing, and I'm going, wow, I never have heard of that person before. I've never heard of this album before. And I love discovering music like that I can fall in love with, you know. So when you send me that music, I also add what you put in that to the Radio General playlist as well on KUOS, because they're wonderful picks. You have very good taste in music. So it's
how cool
is that, you know? So it's been a nice combination. So that's how I found out, because I've been in touch with you on this about the actually New Age Awards. Now, when are the actual? I know people can submit right now if they go to newagenotes.com. I guess when they go there, they can see where they can submit, right?
Yeah. So I have a big banner that says entry, and then there's also a link in the menu to enter. Newagenotes.com, and just click on entry. We're going to be open for entries until December 1st, and then the actual awards will be March 15th.
Okay, and now how do people, so people can go there, you can actually, what I liked about it is something you can also do, which you can't do in some other places. I know HMMA, you can't submit an album. You have to submit a track, pretty much, as far as what I can tell. It's rather confusing. But, I mean, you can actually submit an album as an entry, and you can also submit tracks. Is that correct?
Yes. So, because one of the categories is Best New Age Album. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can submit up to a 15-track album or just a single.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or an EP, you know, a smaller, like 5 tracks mm-hmm. on your EP or so. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I try to have a variety of categories so that, because New Age has expanded so much, you know, there's that wonderful group, the Songgardeners, who do, they're like the Peter, Paul, and Mary of our time, and they're doing wonderful, uplifting, spiritual, New Age pop. So, you know, there's a category for that. And just all different kinds. But like I said, my criteria is it has to be New Age. So we have what we call crossovers. Sometimes you get like a jazz album or so, but it's not, we completely have to call it a crossover. I mean, there's no other, but to me, some of that, this is not New Age. It's jazz, you know what I'm
saying?
Well,
you know, and then there's also the interesting situation that you get is, I mean, a lot of times people have a hard time dividing, is this an instrumental or is this New Age, you know? And is this, you know, something that you would put in some judging categories as instrumental? And even George Winston and even... I think Peter Cater had a problem one time when he submitted it, went into instrumental, not New Age. So there has been that. That has become an issue, and it's very hard to, I mean, sometimes decide that. So I'm sure you're taking into consideration the way it is decided, you know, like what something like Peter Cater done. Peter Cater's pretty New Age, you know. I think that's pretty easy to define, right? So,
Well, he has a new album out, and it's based on piano reading. So he had people lie down under his piano, and he would improvise the song for them. So mm-hmm. he calls it piano readings,
yep.
and it's pretty cool. But, you know, that's pretty new agey.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember, but my husband a while ago had a very bad stroke and since passed on. But when I came out of all that, solo piano was, you know, now considered new age. And I remember saying to one of the promoters, when did solo piano become new age? But it is very firmly entrenched there. And some of that solo piano music is just absolutely phenomenally gorgeous.
Yeah.
And uplifting, you know, spiritually uplifting. Mm-hmm. If it uplifts your soul and relaxes you and brings that good vibe to the planet, that's what we're talking about here.
I can't help but think of Laura Sullivan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Uplifting.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely is, you know, a beautiful pianist that does inspiring, uplifting music that is very, very uplifting, that every time I hear her music, and I play her music a lot, it makes me feel good. And, you know, I love that. And, of course, that's becoming what I like to listen to a lot myself. So, and I have to thank you. You did invite me to be a judge on this category. I don't know which category, but somehow whatever you send me, I'll be glad to be a part of a judge in this new wonderful awards that you're doing.
Well, I'm excited about that. So, yeah, all categories to me.
Okay, wonderful. Well, because you know what? It's an honor because, like I say, I have been in music actually for over 45 years. And I love music so much, you know, of course, and I've done a lot of my albums. Most of my spoken word pieces have a new age background behind the spoken word that I have done. So I've been, you know, really lucky. Actually, I did a couple of pieces with you. I think I've done 4 or 5 pieces with your music behind it. And Laura Sullivan as well. And many others have been a part of that. So it's been really a gift, and I love to see this whole field getting recognized and being expanded. I've been in radio a long time, Diane, and I remember when this started to come out where more people were going to do New Age music, and then that kind of got watered down to a degree where, you know, it became what they call, you know, smooth jazz, or it became a lot of different things that try to make it more commercial, right? So I understand. I understand because I've been in this long-time field where you're trying to make it commercial to be acceptable. But at the same time, it's beautiful to see something that you're doing just dedicated to New Age and to be able to get awards for that, too. So when you're doing the ceremony, I haven't had a chance to talk. What are you going to do in March? People will be able to watch it online. Is that what's going to be happening?
You know, I don't know that yet. Kind of seeing how it's going. We've had a lot of entries. I'm excited about that. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, how many people we have.
Mm-hmm.
And just this first one, what kind of wing it?
Mm-hmm.
So for now, anyway, I have a little time. So,
yeah, well, I'm thrilled about it, truthfully. So people can go and find out more if they go to newagenotes.com. And you have your own channel up on which, how do people listen to your channel?
So they just go to newagenotes.com and there's a graphic that you click to go. It takes you right over to the stream. You know, one of the other things I wanted to say about these awards, Cindy, is that they're truly merit-based. And I think that was also something that was really needed in this genre. It's like, it's not who you know, it's not, you know, how much money you spend or whatever. This is merit based, just like you know, any competition in music where you know, if I'm auditioning for something and I miss a note, you know, it's a problem. So it's merit based, and it's based on several factors like production and melody and things like this where, you know, it can't just be something you threw out there that you made with, you know, AI or whatever.
Yeah, I do appreciate that as well. Absolutely. And there is a difference. And I have seen sometimes people think, you know, that you can do it by having your friends or other things or some ways to do to get an award. But this is different. And that's why I appreciate it as well. It's very important to me that people are able to realize that you can get recognized. You know, and I know, Diane, that it's very, very difficult and expensive to do music. And most musicians I know have a really hard time ever making their money back doing music. It's not like you're going into this field to make money. There are a few people that do, but the majority of people who do music are not doing it to make money. So
They love it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's in your soul.
Well, Diane, I've got my other guest on the phone, another wonderful musician. So thank you for calling in, and we'll talk soon. Aloha.
Well, thank you, Cindy.
Okay.
Good night.
Hi. And Benny Uitaki, it's my wonderful.
Hi.
I love Benny. Benny Uitaki is so wonderful. What a great guy. I mean, you are not only. Hi, it's so good to talk to you. It really is.
Great.
Yeah, Benny's, well, most people know you, but let's talk to you. Benny has been teaching ukulele and playing ukulele for a long time. And you have, through your school program, fought hard to make sure your ukulele classes have been maintained. How long have you been teaching ukulele, Benny?
Well, I mean, we've been teaching ukulele since we learned how to play ukulele. But at Kalama Intermediate School, I've been here for the last 17 years now.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. And I took over a position, a dear friend of mine that teaches at Kamehameha, Rama Camarillo. He called me up a few years back in the early 2000s and said, hey, there's positions over here open in Kalama. And that's when he was deciding to go to Kamehameha, and then the position at Kalama would open. But I waited a couple years. I taught after a great teacher, Naomi Nakama. She taught a few years, and then I took over her after Rama was there since 1985 to 2005 or something like that.
So,
yeah.
So you probably taught, gosh, hundreds or maybe 1,000 young people?
Oh, yeah, a lot of kids. Yeah.
A lot of kids, yeah. How to play ukulele.
Yeah, because this program has been popular, and it's been growing. So at one point, I was teaching 300 a year. So if you multiply that by about 17 years, you know, you get a lot of kids. Yeah, for sure.
So what's interesting, Benny? I've been, and I know you, I think you were part of one time, the ukulele, there's many ukulele festivals, there's many ukulele contests, etc. But what I'm hearing is sometimes when I ask young people how they learn to play ukulele, a lot of them are learning to play through YouTube. And I mean, I think there's a good on that, and then there's also the fact that maybe you're not learning the same way as you would learn in person. So what do you think about this, the fact that a lot of kids are, because maybe they don't have the money for classes, are learning by YouTube versus learning from a teacher?
I guess YouTube first. This is my opinion, because I'll take your, let me start this way. When they're looking at YouTube, it's another way of almost like reading music already. When we were young, we never had, you know, if we wanted to learn songs or if we knew how to read, we either had to play it with grandma, grandpa, or mom and dad, or whoever, and they showed us, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or like me, or even when I was younger, and then when I was in college, you know, we start to read music. And so that was like the YouTube, right? You know, the written music. And now, the only thing that I see that might be different, I won't say wrong, but different, is that when a child, for example, if they watch a great Jake Shimabruko recording,
mm-hmm.
and he's performing, and they learn that exactly like how you did it. If they go to another Jake Shimabukuro recording, chances are it probably might be a little bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what recordings are. Recordings take the current. When I play a tune, I never play it the same way.
Yeah.
I might play it the same form, but basically not totally the same way. You know, there's some recordings that I've heard Jake kind of change things around. And then there's some times when Jake doesn't change it around. So but I get what you're trying to say. The neatest thing about playing when I was growing up is that interaction with my teacher. Mm-hmm. I had such a great time learning how to play and stuff like that with my teacher. But it's a good way. You know, the kids learn because they don't have anybody to learn with anybody. And they eventually come to class, they show me something, and I say, hey, let's try it this way. And so that's the good thing about live, is that we can make a personal input on how they do things. But as far as learning and the YouTube thing, I think it's a good thing. It's no different. It makes things faster and quicker. But sometimes I think that the kids don't have their originality, you know, in learning on our own and listening to like about 30 other players, and they listen to how they're doing it, and oh, I like this way that you did it, you know, or yeah, I like it this way too. And then people start learning different ways.
Well, and Benny, I have to say, I know you, and I know how you also have made friends with some of your students. Some of your students have a hard time communicating, and through music and through learning, you can actually make a connection. We've talked about importance of music teachers and how music teachers can change. I think music teachers can change a child's life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that
sometimes, and some, I mean, what is one of your friends who written some kind of thing?
Stephen Melillo. Yeah, Stephen. Yeah. I just put out an album with him. When I see you, remind me. I want to give you my new album I did with him.
How music can change people's lives. It's definitely it. You know,
it's true.
I got a story here. About 35, 36, or maybe close to 40 years ago, I was playing the Maury Marriott with my friends, with a lot of my friends. And one of my good friends was a guy named Ron Kualaau. And I was just playing with him, and he went on break. He did something. And a guy came up to me. How's this one? Guy, I never met him before. But a Japanese man, he comes up to me, and he says, hey, you playing? I think Ron Kualaau is playing. And I said, yeah, Ron is taking a break somewhere, you know. And Mr. Shikuma, you know. And he was like, I was just totally awed because of the fact that he did a lot of ukulele festivals, Roy Shikuma, by the way. And Roy came up to me and I talked, and he listened to me. He says, hey, I like how you play, man. And we're talking, and Ron comes in, and he was talking to Roy and stuff like that. And Ron had to go back to do something again. And all he said to me was, Ron has one of the most beautiful voices he's ever heard. And ever since that, I have great respect for Roy, because I always believed that my friend Ron had one of the greatest voices I've ever heard either. And anyway, Roy Shikuma, after, I don't know how many years, 50-some years or something of ukulele festivals, the Hawaii ukulele festivals, he was the one that brought it over to Art Vento at the Maui Arts and Culture Center.
And this Sunday, this Sunday is the 15th annual Maui Ukulele Festival.
Yeah. And it's going to be a great... I will be playing with people that I've seen when there were kids playing, learning how to play from various teachers, and I'm going like, wow! I'm now seeing these grown men who are winning Nahoku Hanohano awards and doing all kinds of stuff with Rama Kamarillo's son Kamaka and Kala'i, and they're there's a top-notch musician, and Anthony Fluke.
Yes.
He's going to be playing as well. And, you know, and Kamaka Fernandez, who went to Calama Intermediate, you know.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to mention that there's going to be a Saturday free workshop happening as well.
With Roy.
And that's 3 to 7. And the gates open at 2:30, and this is a free workshop where you can learn ukulele and play.
Well, I spoke to Roy, and Roy, he hasn't picked up his ukulele as much. He's now just teaching more than he's performing and playing. And so I'm hoping that we have a chance to at least see him on that day. And I'm going to perform one of his songs. And
oh,
it's
good.
A song that he's been teaching people for his workshops. And they're probably going to learn at the workshop, but I'm going to play it on the stage. And so it's going to be fun, you know.
When Raiatea Helm will be there, Herb Ota Jr.?
I think she will be the headliner.
I love her.
I don't know if she is my... I saw her on top of the list.
Yes.
But of course, there's others that could be the headliners. And due to their own time restraints, they have to either probably catch planes or they probably have to leave early because they gig that night. You know, I know Anthony lives in Hilo now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to school. So,
yeah.
As you said, and he's going to have to fly back to go to school tomorrow, you know, and... I mean, I'm not tomorrow, but
on Monday
after Sunday. Yeah.
And so Sunday, it starts at 3 o'clock, and it goes to 7, but I think there's the free ukulele jam lesson that happens before that, right?
What do you mean by that? What did you say? Jam session?
Well, I thought there was, it says on Sunday, let's see, it is 3 to 7, and gates open at 2:30. I guess the... Saturday one is the one where you can play and workshop.
You can play at the workshop.
At 11 o'clock.
Yeah. But the Maui Arts and Culture Center is such a high, class act. And we do have a green room, and we all sit in and we all sit down and chit-chat with all the musicians. The last time I remember when it was Kalani Pia, he was there and it was fun to talk to him. You know, so I'm excited to go to the one this year and see all the people that I've admired throughout the years. And, you know, and I played with Herb Ota on Lanai, and he's going to be playing, and he's one of the greats, like his dad, you know. And,
yeah.
And so when people get to that certain stage, they become greats and legends and all that stuff, you know.
Well, I think it's going to be a wonderful chance for people on Saturday to learn, and it's free, and then to hear some of the top artists for free on Sunday, and of course for you to be there. And, you know, I just love, I was blessed to have you do music to the words of a song I wrote called Believe, which is on just released on an album called Arise Together, a children's album, which is so inspiring. And I just love the music you created on it. It's so, so beautiful.
Well, I think unless we can somehow talk to Anthony, I'm definitely going to play that song no matter what as a little melody and brag about you. So I probably will do that along with playing with Roy Sukuma. And then I have a few songs that I've written that I'm going to share that I wrote it on the ukulele. And then my ukulele band is going to be one of the, we're going to be one of the groups that probably open the first hour of the show.
Well, I'm out of time.
Kamehameha School.
So I just want to say thank you so much. I really love what you do, Benny. We'll see you out there on Sunday. Aloha.
Aloha, everyone. Aloha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.